That song addressed two matters. One, God's involvement in our lives, but the other, our response to Him. Both are important. And both kind of relate to what we're going to be talking about this morning. If you notice the title, "You Know You Have Done Wrong If a Donkey Talks to You." Would you please turn to Numbers chapter 22? Numbers chapter 22. We're going to be talking about Balaam. Not the whole scenario, just pretty much the event where the donkey actually talked to Balaam. We'll build the context all around it and see what God had to say to Balaam and how Balaam responded. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how specific it is. And thank you for your giving it to us. But Lord, we have to respond. We have a choice to make. And I pray that you would work in our hearts today to understand clearly what that choice is. And by your grace, may we make the right choices and respond well to your word and be obedient. May we understand your will for our lives and desire that above all else. Please help us as we study. And we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." But how do you know to do good? How do you know what is good and what is not good? How do you know what is right and what is wrong? Well, God makes it very easy. Because his word is very specific. God states things clearly in his word. I mean, the Ten Commandments are an example of that. In the thou shalt nots and thou shalt. Very specific instruction in his word. Now, Balaam is a prophet. And you would think a prophet would pay attention to the specificity of God's word, would understand the significance of God choosing each word very carefully. Unfortunately, we're going to see an example of how Balaam just didn't pay attention. In the context, Numbers chapter 22 is at the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 23, there is actually a list of all of the places that they moved to in the wilderness, place by place by place. At the very end of the list, in Numbers chapter 33 and verse 48, it says that they pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. Well, here in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 1, that's where they are. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. So this is at the very end of the list of all the places that they stayed in the wilderness. And this is at the very end of the 40 years. So this, we're dealing with the second generation of the nation of Israel. We're dealing with their preparedness to go into the promised land. It's getting very close. And they have arrived at the place called Moab. They're on the east side of Jordan. They need to go to the other side of Moab to get to the exact place where they want to go across the Jordan River. But Moab, the Moabites, are afraid of the Israelites. And in verse 2 it says, "And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So they went to the elders," in verse 4, "and said, 'Now this company Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field, and they're all afraid. And so Balak is the king, and Balak the king knows about the prophet Balaam. And Balaam has a reputation, as Balak testifies in verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now, the word wot, W-O-T, is part of the a form of the an old English word, a noun, the noun wit. And it's not the same as, quite the same as, you know, say, he's very witty. Not that. It's related to the word witness. Wit is to know. Witness is to tell what you know. And wot is a form of the verb wit. So when he says, I wot, he says, I know. This is, I know. I've heard the witness of what you do. And when you bless somebody, they're blessed. And when you curse somebody, they're cursed. And that's what I want. I want you to come and do that. I want you to curse the nation of Israel so that I can defeat them and we'll be safe. Balaam, however, understood, being a prophet, that he could only say what God gave him to say. You see, to be a true prophet, you can't just go out and say anything. If it's true that when he prophesied blessing, the people were blessed, and if he prophesied cursing, the people were cursed, and he's a true prophet, then he can only say what God told him to say, because that's the only thing that can come true. And Balaam understood that, and he explains this. And when the representatives of Moab came to him and asked him, he responded in verse 8. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these? Balaam explains what the situation is. And that in verse 11, that there is this people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. This is what Balak wanted, and Balaam's explaining this to God. And so God says in verse 12, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. They're already blessed. So you can't put a curse on them. That's it. So Balaam gets up in the morning. He goes to the men. Verse 13 explains to them, you have to go home. The Lord said, I can't do this. So see you later. But King Balak won't take no for an answer. So in verse 15, says this, and Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. In other words, these princes were higher up than the other princes that came the first time. And they come and they ask the same thing over again. Verse 16, they came to Balaam and said, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Now, in verse 18, in Balaam, I find the response kind of curious. The first time that they came, back in verse 7, I want you to take notice of something. The first time, the princes that weren't as high as these princes, when they came the first time, it says, the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. You know what that was? It was money. They were willing to pay him. So now they come back, and of course he says, you know, I'll give you great honor, and we'll give you more. He offers more. And Balak responds, and it sounds great, but I'm just a little curious about it because we know the end of the story. You know, Balaam did accept, ultimately, he did accept payment. He did want money in the end. And we'll look at that briefly at the end. But he says this here in verse 18, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." I'm just wondering if Balaam is putting out a price and seeing, you know, just floating. I mean, he's saying, I don't have a price, but I'm just wondering if he's floating a price just to see what would happen. And, you know, a house full of silver and gold, that's a lot of money. Anyway, he says the same thing again. I can only do what the Lord tells me to do. Verse 19, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me." And that's it all sounds great up to this point. So that night, these princes, who are they're really important princes, they're sleeping in another house. Balaam's in his house, and God comes to him. And God came unto Balaam, verse 20, at night, and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up." Now you see the next four words? "And go with them." God gives him permission to go with them. But yet, he puts this qualification on it. "But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." And, verse 21, Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. And then, verse 22 says, "And God's anger was kindled because he went." Now, it appears a little problematic. Doesn't God say in verse 20, go with them? Does he say that? Verse 20? It says, go with them. And then it says in verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. What's the problem? The problem is, God is very specific, and Balaam did not pay attention. Look at it again. In verse 20, there is a condition for Balaam going. And what is the condition? If the men come to call. Do you see that? Verse 20, if the men come to call. Verse 21, does it say anything about the men coming to call? No. It just says Balaam got up and went. It appears that he didn't wait for them to come and call. Now, you might say, well, you're making a lot out of that. But there's a reason that God is angry that he went. After he said you can go, and then he's angry that he went. There's a reason that God is angry with he went, angry with him because he went, even though he said he could go. I mean, why did he get angry because he went? He said he could go. The only thing that is in the text, and remember, God is very clear in his text. He's very specific in his choice of words. If he says to Balaam, if the men come to call, and then he never records whether or not the men come to call, I think it's clear for us to understand he didn't wait for the men to come to call. Balaam was not paying attention. Balaam was looking for a means to pursue this thing because there was money in it. Now, listen, the men came the first time, and God said very clearly to Balaam, you cannot curse the people of Israel because they are blessed. Why does Balaam bother going back to God the second time and asking the same question over again? Doesn't he know that he's going to get the same answer? Balaam is pushing. And he's so anxious to push the envelope on this thing that he either doesn't hear the whole instruction from God, or just isn't willing to pay attention to the specificity of it. He just hears what he wants to hear. And you know, that's often so much the case. When we read in the Bible, we read half a verse, and we don't hear the whole thing. You can't take a half a verse out of its context and claim something from that. You have to consider everything that God has said. And he said, if the men come to call, then you go with them. But Balaam didn't wait to find out. He just went. And God was angry. And so, Balaam is riding on a donkey. I know the word that the scripture uses. You look that word up in the dictionary, it refers to a she-donkey. I'm going to use the word donkey. He's riding on the donkey, and he's riding on a road that's going past a field. And it says in verse 22, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now notice it says, the angel of the Lord. This is one of those places where the angel of the Lord shows up. And I'm not going to take the time this morning. We've talked about this a couple of times before, I think. And there are places where you can affirm that this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There are places in the Old Testament where the angel of the Lord is identified as God himself. And the eternal Son of God is always the one who is the express image of the glory of the Father. So this is the eternal Son of God. And he doesn't send an angel. It doesn't say an angel stood in the way. It says the angel of the Lord. So this is such a serious situation that one of his prophets didn't pay attention to all the words he said, that God himself decides he's going to get involved in this personally, not just send a representative, an angel. He's going to be there himself. And so the angel of the Lord stood in the way. And it says in the middle of verse 22, now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And notice what else. And his sword drawn in his hand. He was holding a sword in a threatening way, and we're going to find out a little later on that the donkey actually saves Balaam's life, because the reason the angel of the Lord has the sword drawn is he was going to use it. And he was going to use it on Balaam. And the donkey sees the angel of the Lord standing there with a drawn sword, and what's the donkey do? The donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Whew, close call. But Balaam didn't see the angel of the Lord. And Balaam is perturbed at his donkey. And so in verse 23 at the end, it says, and Balaam smote the donkey. And the word smote is not a slap. He really hit this animal hard. And it hurt. So the angel of the Lord goes away, and the donkey gets back on the path, and they continue on. And now they're going through some vineyards. And what they would do is build stone walls around their vineyards back in the day. And they were on the road, and on each side of the road, there was a stone wall. Now, the stone walls were not real high, and donkeys are not real tall. And so Balaam was not like way up, you know, like on a horse, and walls way up. These were short walls, and keep that in mind, but they were stone walls, one on each side of the road. And once again, while they're on this path with a stone wall on each side of the road, the angel of the Lord stood in the path, verse 24, the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, once again with a sword drawn and ready to be used, she couldn't go out into the field this time because the wall was there. So she thrusts herself against the wall and, it says, crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Once again, Balaam didn't see the angel of the Lord. He has no idea what's going on. What's wrong with you? He's looking at his donkey, and so he smote the donkey again. The angel of the Lord leaves, the path is clear, the donkey continues, and now they've passed the vineyards, and they're going through some rocky terrain, and they're going through some very large rocks, and the passage is so narrow, it's impossible for the donkey to turn to the left or the right, or even for the donkey to turn around. And once again, verse 26, the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. There was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she had no place to go. So she fell down. She just laid right down on the ground. Under Balaam. And once again, Balaam doesn't see the angel of the Lord. And then Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with a staff. And it is at this point, it says in verse 28, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey speaks. And we might be curious about how it is that the donkey spoke. It is an amazing thing, isn't it? Does the donkey now have human thoughts? You know, what's going on? But he speaks. The donkey speaks, and the donkey says in verse 28, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Well, I don't know about you, but if a donkey spoke to me, I would be a little dumbfounded. I think I would kind of go like this and say, did I really hear that? Balaam doesn't seem to be all that surprised, and he takes it as mockery, and he says in verse 29, Balaam said unto the donkey, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee." Balaam is so angry in the whole situation. He's just caught up in the emotion of it, and now he wishes he had a sword. He would just kill the donkey. And the donkey speaks again. Verse 30, the donkey said to Balaam, "Am not I the donkey upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And finally, something begins to sink into Balaam's thick skull, and he only has one word to say. He says, "No." It's like he's beginning to think, what's going on here? And now the question is not, how is it possible for the donkey to talk? But why is the donkey talking? It's at this point that the Lord opens the eyes of Balaam in verse 31. And now he sees the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And Balaam first bows his head, and then he falls flat on his face on the ground. And the angel of the Lord explains to Balaam how the donkey saved his life. He says in verse 32, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thy donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." See what his intent was? Why he had the sword drawn? "I'm going to kill you." Because he did not obey explicitly the specific command of God. If the men come and call, you can go with him. You didn't wait to find out if they were going to call or not. You're too anxious to go and do, at least to try to do, what I told you you couldn't do. Verse 34, "Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shall speak." Why? Why did the donkey talk? It was an extraordinary means of God getting Balaam's attention. Balaam didn't pay attention. It was all about Balaam paying attention. If the men come to call, Balaam didn't pay attention. I need to have your attention. Balaam knew that God did not want him to speak a curse on Israel. But Balaam wanted the reward. We know that because of what the New Testament testifies. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness." So Balaam kept pushing against the will of God to get to the will of Balaam. Do we ever do that? Do we ever push against the will of God because we want something that is different than what God wants? We can know what God wants. He gave us a simple formula in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You can prove, you can have discernment. The word "prove" there has to do with the idea of discernment. You can discern, you can know what the perfect will of God is for your life, if you will not conform yourself to the world and you will allow the word of God to transform your mind. It's very simple. He will, by his word, lead you into an understanding of a very specific will for your life. Beyond that, there are certain things that are pretty obvious as to his will for our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, sanctification is his will for your life. There are other places where he specifies, "This is my will for your life." There are certain general things in the Christian life that he has specified, "This is my will for your life." Is it his will for you to obey him? Absolutely. It's easy to understand what God's will is, but sometimes we want something different than what God has instructed. And so we push. He says to Balaam, you can't curse Israel, they're already blessed. But several times, he goes through the process of trying. And after this, he will try. He will actually try it. He will, four times, he will stand up and try to say something as a curse on the nation of Israel. Beginning in chapter 24, verse 15, is the, that's the fourth word. Let's see, chapter 23, verse 1 is the first word. Chapter 23, verse 13 is the second try. Chapter 23, verse 27 is the third try. And chapter 24, verse 15 is the fourth try. Four times he will stand up and try to say a curse on Israel. He keeps pushing, because he wants something that is opposite of what God wants. How intensely does God want his will for you? How intensely did he want Balaam to fulfill his will? Intensely enough for a donkey to talk to him. To open the mouth of a donkey. I mean, that's an extraordinary thing. Animals don't have souls. Animals don't have the same consciousness as a man. But here, in an extraordinary event, God opens the mouth of the donkey. The donkey appears to have very articulate thoughts and expresses them because God wants Balaam to obey. And that's the degree to which God will go to get Balaam's attention. But still, Balaam has to decide. Will I respond? Will I pay attention when I hear a donkey talk? Or will I keep pushing? Jude 1, verse 11, refers to those who ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. He kept on persisting. In the end, Balaam got what he wanted and rejected the will of God. Not even a talking donkey could persuade him. That was Balaam's choice. What will be ours? Now, granted, you may never hear a donkey talk, but I thought that a donkey talking could be a metaphor for us for some other ways in which God tries to get our attention. Perhaps it's another person who will say something to us. No offense to that individual, but sometimes another person talking to us could have the same effect as a donkey talking. You know, another person talking to you could be your donkey. Could be a circumstance that occurs. It could be something you hear in a song. Will you hear the donkey? And understand, God's trying to get your attention. The problem is that often we do not see the Lord standing in the way because we don't want to see him. We are so focused on wanting our own way, we can't see the Lord. That was Balaam's problem. He couldn't see the Lord. And he wouldn't pay attention to the donkey. Can Can you see, will you see God blocking the path of self-indulgence? And will you listen? Listen to the donkey. What is your donkey? What is the thing that God is using to get your attention? To say to you, what you're doing is not my will. Will you pay attention? Listen to the donkey and see the Lord in the way and make the right choice. Choose the will of God over your own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have set to our hearts a challenge today. We all have things we are selfishly desirous of. And there are times in all of our lives when we try to avoid your voice to pursue our selfish interests. Whatever means are necessary, I pray, Lord, that you would use them to get our attention. And when you have our attention, Lord, I pray that we may make the right choice and choose your will over our own. Work in us that work you do, to will and to do of your good pleasure. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.